Returning Hero, a Stargate Atlantis alternate universe fanfiction, written by Rasar and read by Jenrin. Summary: World War II pilot John Shepard returns home from war and tries to rekindle his relationship with injured lover Rodney. Returning Hero. John Shepard walks out of the train station, his eyes searching the crowd. He is by no means the only serviceman coming home today, and it seems most of the town has turned out to greet the returning heroes. Hero. John can't quite bring himself to use that term about himself. He's no hero. He was just doing what he had to do, and he's alive and uninjured, unlike a great many of his friends. He's lost so many friends in the last 2 years, but he can't bring himself to count. John has no injuries, no scars, no disability to mark him out as one who served. He can't help but wonder if anyone can see the scars inside. He continues searching, his eyes seeking out every man not in uniform. His heart leaps when he sees a man a few inches shorter than himself with sandy brown hair. But the man turns, and it isn't him. It isn't Rodney. Maybe John's letter didn't arrive. Maybe Rodney couldn't get the time off from work. Maybe he just doesn't want to be here. Rodney hasn't answered any of John's letters, but he isn't really worried about that. After almost losing his leg in a bombing raid on the base, Rodney probably just isn't in the mood for writing long letters to his friend. That's all it is. After everything they've been through together, he can't believe that Rodney just doesn't want to see him. John stops short, his breath catching as it finally occurs to him. Rodney is injured. John isn't. Maybe Rodney really doesn't want to see John, to be reminded of everything that happened, of what he's lost. Standing alone in a sea of happy veterans and their families, John feels more alone than ever. He's so lost in his thoughts that he doesn't hear his name being called at first. John! He finally registers his mother's voice and pastes a smile on his face as he turns to greet her. Hi, Mom. He pulls her into his arms and finds he doesn't ever want to let go. He's home, but this isn't the home he wants. This isn't what he'd thought he'd found with Rodney. As soon as he lets go, she's going to start talking. She'll tell him about his family, his neighbors, everyone but the one person John is desperate to hear about. So he stalls for as long as he can, refusing to let her go. Eventually she breaks free, but she doesn't speak. She simply looks at him, her face a strange mix of happy and sad, hopeful and scared. John hasn't seen her for more than 2 years, and he hadn't realized how much he'd missed her. Resolving to stop letting his mood ruin his homecoming, he smiles and means it this time. Let's go home. If he sounds regretful, he hopes she'll pass it off as fatigue. It seems most of John's neighbours have turned out for his homecoming party. He's a little surprised. Surely they have better things to do. He keeps the smile on his face for so long he's not sure he'll ever be able to let it drop. He is sure it will never be real. He feels trapped, hemmed in by well-meaning folks who all say they understand but really can't. They don't know anything about the real world, not the one John has lived in for the last 2 years. There's an old man sitting in the corner, his eyes meeting John's every now and then. He knows. He served in the Great War, except it's not called that now, is it? Not anymore. It's just part one now. John wonders if they'll learn something from part two, or if he'll be that man in the corner some day, at someone else's party. The smile is still firmly in place, but John can feel his mood slipping. He doesn't want to be here back in the real world where no one will ever understand, where he'll never be able to tell them what he did, what he saw. John, honey, do you think you could drive to the store for me? Pick up a few things? John's mother asks him as though she's imposing, but they passed the store on their way here and John's been in the kitchen. He knows there's nothing she really needs. Somehow he'd forgotten how good she is at reading him. He gratefully takes the list from her and only just manages to keep from running out the door. The trip to the store is short, but he drives as slowly as he can, watching the scenery of his hometown pass by the window. The farm he worked on as a teenager, saving his money for the very car he's driving. The tree he and his buddies would launch themselves from, aiming for the lake but often missing. The bar he was barely old enough to go to toast his acceptance into the Army Air Forces. Nothing has changed, and yet it all looks different to him now, smaller somehow. He loves this place, but he wonders if he'll ever feel at home here again. He pulls up outside the store but stays in the car, just breathing, bracing himself as though going into battle. He laughs at himself, almost as soon as the thought forms. The things he's seen and done in his time away, and he's nervous of going into the local store. Smiling at the ridiculousness of his behavior, he climbs out of the car and stops dead. Standing in front of him, leaning against the store window as though he hasn't a care in the world, is Rodney. John struggles for something to say, but is spared the effort when Rodney speaks first. "Hi, John. How are you?" Rodney sounds as though he's trying to be casual, but it's forced, and his eyes are looking everywhere but at John. "I'm good." John silently curses himself for not saying something, anything, to make Rodney look at him. "Just got back?" John's temper finally fails him. Rodney knew he'd got back today. He's still wearing his uniform, for God's sake. But here he is, acting as though they just bumped into each other in the street, as though they weren't anything but old friends. Just as John is about to yell and scream and demand Rodney explain right now, Rodney moves. He walks towards John, his left leg barely able to support him, a cane doing the job his useless limb can't, and suddenly John doesn't care anymore. It doesn't matter why Rodney ignored him for all those months. He's here now. "God, Rodney, I missed you." John steps forward, but Rodney holds up a hand to stop him. "Don't, please, not here." He must see the hurt on John's face because he hastily adds, "If you touch me now, I might not be able to stop." The smile he gives John is weak, but it melts John's heart just the same. "Okay, why don't we go for a drive?" They drive out to the old mill and sit by the lake, barely speaking a word. John wants to take Rodney's hand to reassure himself that he's really here, but some part of him is afraid he'll seem desperate. The fact that he is desperate doesn't escape him. He feels more comfortable with Rodney than he has all day, but doesn't want Rodney to think he's turned into a little girl. The thought makes him giggle, which makes him question his manhood all over again. Rodney turns to look at him and smiles, and this time it's real. "I'd forgotten what that sounds like. You were definitely always the girl in this relationship. You know that, right?" He's grinning now, and John can't help but join him. "Maybe. So, what have you been up to?" It's an inane question, John knows it is, but he's struggling to find anything real to say. Rodney stays quiet, picking at the grass by his side. John tries not to hold his breath while he waits for an answer. He doesn't want to believe that Rodney has moved on, but they haven't been together for more than 6 months. If Rodney has found someone new, John will understand, or at least he'll try. They were friends for a long time before the war turned them into something so much more. 1 year ago. John returns to the barracks and all but throws himself onto his bed. Thankful that every other pilot on the base is currently off base, since their weekend furloughs haven't been revoked. John usually avoids behaving like a teenager, but all he wants to do right now is stamp his feet and shout, "It's not fair!" His leave has been cancelled because of a stupid fight that wasn't even his fault. Of course, he did throw the first punch. He's wondering just how childish it would be to stay here and sulk all evening when he hears the door opening. He knows it's Rodney before the man even utters a word. "Ah, thought I'd find you in here. Sulking, are you?" Well, damn. Rodney is getting a bit too good at that lately. "Not sulking." John has turned to hide his face in the pillows so his voice is muffled. He can't really deny he sounds like he's sulking. The bed dips as Rodney sits beside John, his hand resting on John's leg. "Are you going to tell me what you were fighting about?" Rodney speaks quietly, and John can't help thinking he already knows the answer. "Nothing." John turns and sits up on the bed facing Rodney. "I don't want to talk about it. It was just some stupid argument." He knows Rodney isn't likely to drop the subject so easily. Ever since Rodney arrived on the base, John has been defending him to his fellow pilots. Rodney has a unique way of putting things, and it's been getting him into trouble as long as John has known him. For some reason, it's worse here. John knows Rodney can take care of himself, but this isn't the small town they grew up in, where Rodney's behaviour is politely ignored. Tensions are running high, and Rodney makes an easy target. The bombing raids, which are becoming more and more frequent, are bad enough. He doesn't want his friend to be in danger from his own countrymen. Rodney is sitting quietly on John's bed. He knows what happened today, and why, but for some reason he isn't pushing John to talk about it. The two of them have been spending so much time together lately that the silence seems easy, comfortable. It's a stark contrast to those times John has come back from a bombing raid and had to listen to Rodney ranting about his death wish. He brings his hand up to cover the smile that threatens to form at the memory. Rodney is never more attractive than when he's insulting someone, even if it is John. It's strange how easily that thought comes. John has never found a man attractive before, never found Rodney attractive, but he does now. He'd say a big part of it is probably just the situation, the constant threat they're living with, the lack of women on the base. But that would be an excuse, nothing more. The truth is, he's been looking at Rodney a little differently for months now. His is always the first face John seeks out when he steps down from his plane, and no matter what has happened while he's out there, seeing Rodney always grounds him. John smiles again. He never thought he'd want to be grounded. He knows it's insane, he knows it's not safe, but he leans forward anyway. Bringing his palm to Rodney's cheek, he leans in so slowly that he's barely moving, giving Rodney plenty of time to object. His heart beating so hard he can feel it in his throat, terrified that Rodney will stop him, terrified he won't, John brushes his lips to Rodney's. He's read about this, about electricity, chemistry. Whatever it is, to John it feels like home. The sweet kiss is almost painful in its gentleness. So John moves his hand to the back of Rodney's head, pulling him in. He licks softly at Rodney's lips, seeking entrance, his pulse loud in his ears. As though something has broken the trance he was in, Rodney surges forwards, claiming John's mouth. They are both making quiet sounds, somewhere between need and desperation, and John is getting hard quicker than he ever has in his life. Rodney is every bit as bossy in bed as he is in everyday life, pushing John down to his back and leaning over him. It seems he has more than two hands. He's touching John everywhere at once, fire skating across John's skin in every place those talented fingers rest. John realizes he's bucking up into Rodney and would feel stupid for behaving like a horny teenager, but Rodney's no better. Clothes are being dragged off and a voice in the back of John's head is screaming that this isn't safe, but he can't make himself care. Rodney kisses a trail from John's throat to his navel, making strange little sounds along the way. John has to stifle a laugh when he realizes Rodney is talking to himself, cataloging John's reactions, committing to memory all the best spots. John really should have known that sleeping with someone as smart as Rodney would be like this. He thinks for an insane minute that this must be what a lab rat feels like. It takes him a few moments to get that image out of his head. When a warm, soft, wet heat engulfs his cock, he thanks God that he has that rat to think of. Jesus Christ, Rodney is going down on him. John has been around the block a few times. This isn't the first blowjob he's gotten. But he'd never in a million years imagined Rodney would want to do this. In fact, why would Rodney even know how to do this? They've been friends since high school. Surely if Rodney had been with a man before, John would know about it. John can't speculate anymore. He can barely think. Rodney has wrapped a hand around the base of John's cock and is sucking hard. And Jesus, he's making the most obscene sounds John has ever heard. He's getting off on this. Rodney likes sucking cock, loves it even. John's head is spinning, and the combination of this revelation about his friend and the things said friend is doing to him is too much. John comes suddenly and powerfully, his whole body arching up off the bed. It's possible that the inhuman scream was some form of Rodney's name, but John really isn't sure. Every muscle in John's body is twitching, aftershocks of the most intense orgasm ever. Rodney hasn't stopped, though. He's licking John clean and humming to himself. If John was able to form a thought, he'd probably think Rodney has lost his mind a little. Lying boneless on the bed, John lifts his head slightly to look at Rodney, who is now kissing his way up John's stomach. Their eyes meet, and John can't help but smile. If you tell me you've never done that before, I don't think I'll believe you. As soon as the words are out of his mouth, John regrets them. There are any number of ways Rodney could take offense at that. His fears are laid to rest, though, when Rodney smiles back at him. I've done that before. He lowers his head and there's a sudden tinge of pink at the tip of his ears. He takes a deep breath and looks up at John before saying, I'd like to... Another deep breath. Would you let me inside of you, John? Can I... Whatever words he was trying to form are cut off by John's fierce kiss. Somehow, something he's never wanted, never even considered, becomes the one thing John wants more than anything in the world. Just the thought of Rodney inside him is almost enough to get John hard again. The innocent way Rodney phrases it just seems to make John want him more. He's not stupid, though. They can't do that in here, not where anyone could walk in and find them. Rodney, I want to. God, I want to. But we can't. Not here. The feral grin on Rodney's face is a little surprising. Don't worry. I locked the door behind me. John stares at him for a moment, torn between asking just what the hell Rodney had been thinking would happen, and admitting he was absolutely right to think it. If he were interested in playing it cool, keeping some kind of control, he'd tell Rodney to go to hell for his assumption. Of course, then the sex would stop. It's not really a tough choice. Rodney has some kind of lubricant with him. John doesn't really want to think about what it is or where he got it. Rodney kisses him passionately, claiming his mouth all over again. His hands are moving slowly all over John's body, soothing him, caressing him. Their moans are softer now, calmer. John's stomach is turning somersaults, and he knows he should be more nervous, but this is Rodney. When a slick finger breaches him, John sucks in a breath, more from surprise than pain. Rodney had done a wonderful job of distracting him with those brain-melting kisses. The finger, Rodney's finger, moves in and out of John, stretching him. John moves with it, mindlessly trying to get more of Rodney inside him, needing this so much it scares him a little. One finger becomes two, and soon John is writhing on the bed, moaning loudly, begging Rodney to do it, to just get on with it already. Rodney reaches for a pillow and places it carefully under John, raising his hips off the bed. Those beautiful blue eyes are boring into him, and John has to close his own to escape the scrutiny. Sometimes he wonders what Rodney sees when he looks at him, but he doesn't want to know right now. All he wants is Rodney. Slowly, as though afraid John will break, Rodney enters him. For a moment John panics, thinking that Rodney is splitting him in two, but the feeling quickly turns into something else. Rodney is inside him, feeling some space John hadn't known was there. He wants Rodney to move, wants him to stay exactly where he is, wants everything. There was never any chance this would last long. Rodney can't hold back anymore and is pounding into John almost as urgently as John is pushing up into him. Formless words are melting together, both men trying to speak but failing. Just when John starts to think he'll never come down from this, Rodney stills, his mouth opening and closing soundlessly. He comes deep inside John, the throbbing of his cock pushing John over the edge to join him. When John's senses come back to him, he realizes his inability to breathe isn't just because of his second orgasm of the night. It's because Rodney has passed out on top of him. Chuckling to himself, he pushes Rodney to the side. Allowing his inner little girl to take over for a moment, he cuddles up to his lover. Warm breath ghosts across his face as Rodney whispers, girl. John can hear the smile in Rodney's voice. Present day. Studying, mostly. It takes John a second to realize that Rodney is finally answering his question. He's still not looking at John, though. Studying, right. Jesus, he never used to find it this hard to talk to Rodney. They haven't spoken for 6 months, but John really doesn't want to believe that everything has changed. I'm going back to school. Rodney looks at his damaged leg and then finally looks at John. I need to do something. Rodney. John isn't really sure what he can say. Rodney can still walk, but with a severe limp. He'll never be the same as he was, and John realizes with a terrible feeling in the pit of his stomach that he feels pity for his friend. More than that, he feels guilty that Rodney's the one who was injured, and John hadn't been there. 6 months earlier. John pops the canopy of his plane and jumps out, scanning the faces around the tarmac for that familiar face. He doesn't see him, though. Rodney isn't here to meet him, and that almost never happens. He's on the crew. He should be here. John looks towards the main base and sees it. Can't believe he'd missed it. There's a hole on the side of one of the buildings. Bomb damage. John is racing toward the building before his mind has fully formed the name, Rodney. That's the hangar Rodney does most of his work in. That's where he can always be found when he's on duty. And that's where he was when that fucking bomb hit. Somehow John knows, without a doubt, that Rodney was in there. As soon as he gets to the hangar, he stops. His mind is at war. He wants to go to his lover, but he doesn't think he can bear it if he finds him hurt. He refuses to even think about anything other than hurt. The battle doesn't last long. If Rodney needs help, John will be there to give it. John feels like a fool when he walks into the devastated hangar. The bomb must have hit hours ago. There's no one here. His shoulders sag and he lets out the breath he'd been holding. It's okay. Rodney's okay. If he wasn't, some would have told him. Except they wouldn't. It's not like anyone on the base knows about them. Damn it, he's an officer in the AAF and he's acting like a high school teenager, unable to keep a sensible thought in his head. The walk to the infirmary is long and torturous. Everyone knows he and Rodney are friends, that they grew up together. They will all be expecting him to be concerned, to go looking for his friend. No one will be surprised when he turns up at the infirmary looking for Rodney. But they might be a little surprised if he jumps on Rodney and starts mauling him and making him swear to never ever do that again. He needs to pull himself together, and that voice in his head needs to stop pointing out that he might not find Rodney, that he might never see him again. Relief slams into him like a physical being when he steps into the cold grey room and immediately sees Rodney sitting up in bed. It's all John can do to walk slowly to the bed, putting on his best everything's just fine smile. Hey, McKay, trip over something? He's aiming for levity. Judging by Rodney's face, he's missed by a mile. Something like that. Shit, he sounds not like himself. No witty comeback, no sarcastic comment about John's attempt at humour, nothing. What happened? John's voice breaks slightly on the second word, but he doesn't care. Something's wrong, and as he waits for Rodney's answer, he realizes he's holding his breath again. Some idiot decided my hangar would be a nice place to drop a bomb, a supremely inferior bomb that waited almost a full minute before going off. Trust Rodney to mock the engineering abilities of their enemy. He's probably more bothered by the faulty fuse than he is by the actual bombing. Half the roof caved in on top of it before it exploded. Rodney's voice has gone quiet, soft. He's hesitating, and this isn't Rodney. He never hesitates. John risks everything by moving, so he's pressed up against the side of the bed, his hand resting on his lover's ankle. It's a simple touch, but it's the most he can do in public without the whole world knowing they're sleeping together. He hopes the touch is somehow enough to reassure Rodney that he's here, that they're together no matter what. Shrapnel. In my leg. They got it out, but there's... Rodney's hands are fisting in the sheet while he's talking, and his voice is breaking. John feels as though a black hole has taken up residence in the pit of his stomach. He doesn't want to push, but if Rodney doesn't tell him what's wrong soon, John may have to shoot him. There's nerve damage and muscle damage. I may not be able to walk, ever. He's staring at his hands now and clearly trying to be stoic, trying to show how scared he is, how devastated. John curses every narrow-minded person in the universe for preventing him from taking Rodney in his arms and holding him. He curses his own weakness for preventing him from saying fuck 'em and doing it anyway, no matter what the consequences. He wants to put his arms around Rodney and tell him everything will be okay, to kiss his brow and tell him he will always love him no matter what. He wants not to give a damn what anyone thinks. Instead, he tightens his hold on Rodney's ankle, his eyes burning from holding back the tears that threaten to fall. You'll be okay. Doctors can do all sorts of things nowadays. They'll fix you up. You'll be fine. He sounds just like his grandmother now. Cheerful optimism in the face of anything. A tornado could be tearing the farm apart and she'd be just keep smiling and say, don't worry, it's just a bit of wind. They're sending me home, John. I'm flying out tomorrow. His eyes meet John's and there's something there that John doesn't want to see. The spark is missing. The feeling that had started when Rodney hadn't been waiting for him at the landing strip is back. He wonders if they'll ever see each other again. Present day. I'm leaving once term starts. I'm moving to Boston. A coldness starts in John's stomach and threatens to spread. 6 months he's waited to see Rodney again, and now he's losing him all over again. Boston. John stretches the syllables, making the name seem longer than it is. Boston is miles away. Yeah, MIT. It's a really interesting program, not like anything else they're doing anywhere else in the country. I got my acceptance letter yesterday. Rodney is still barely looking at John, and now it's starting to piss him off. At the store, he'd let John think everything was okay, that he still wanted him. Why is he even here if it's just to say goodbye? He could have done that in a fucking letter. John stares at Rodney and tries to think of something to say. The light is fading, the last rays of the sun bathing Rodney's skin, making it glow. His hands are moving constantly, fidgeting with the grass at his side, the hem of his shirt, anything he can touch. John smiles in memory. Rodney never could stay still for long. He looks good. Of course, John always thought Rodney looked good. That feeling in John's stomach is back again, and he decides with a fresh burst of determination that he won't give up so easily this time. Ignoring letters is one thing, but John won't let Rodney just leave him without a fight. Realizing that he's never been very good with words, John decides to fight dirty. He reaches for Rodney and curls his hand around the back of his neck. Pulling him in quickly, he claims Rodney's mouth and uses every trick he can think of to melt Rodney to him. He bites gently at Rodney's lower lip, eliciting a moan that goes straight to his cock. Sliding his hand up into Rodney's hair, he deepens the kiss, licking into Rodney's mouth, tasting him the way he's wanted to for months. He maneuvers them down to the ground and leans over Rodney, pushing his leg in between his lovers. When he feels Rodney's hardness up against his thigh, he smiles into the kiss. At least he knows Rodney still wants him physically. Rodney is panting and writhing between him as John moves to his throat, sucking and biting and breathing so hard he's worried he might pass out. Rodney moves his hands to John's ass and squeezes hard, making John groan and grind down, their cocks fitting against each other perfectly. John is pretty damn sure he could come just from this, but he's still wearing his uniform pants, so he reluctantly slows his movements. He places a final kiss on Rodney's crooked lips and lifts himself up, looking deep into Rodney's eyes and hoping not to see that look, that blank look Rodney had given him back on the base. Rodney's eyes are as clear as ever, a light in them that causes John to catch his breath. He leans in for another slow kiss, and this time it's gentle, almost chaste. He doesn't know how he'd been expecting Rodney to react, but the quiet sigh surprises him. It's not a sound he's used to hearing from his brash friend. Still looking him directly in the eye, John realizes he can't avoid words any longer. I've missed you so much. Why... Why didn't you answer my letters? It takes every ounce of strength he has for John to keep his eyes on Rodney while he holds his breath, waiting for an answer. I'm sorry, John. I couldn't. We can't. Rodney stops speaking and sighs again. We can't do this, John. It's not right. He must see the shock and anger in John's face because he quickly goes on. I meant, fuck. What if someone finds out? What happens then? We could end up in prison. Even if it wasn't illegal, do you think anyone would ever accept us? How do you think your family would react if they knew? It's dangerous. It's too dangerous. John's laugh is mirthless. Rodney is worried about how people would react to them. Of all the... No way is he going to let that kick them apart. No way. Rodney, I don't give a damn. Do you hear me? I don't care. I love you, and if you think I'm just going to... He can't speak with Rodney's tongue in his mouth, so the rest of his tirade will have to wait. Rodney's hands are tangled in John's hair, holding him in place while he plunders John's mouth. When he's done, and John is barely able to breathe, he smiles that beautiful smile John has missed so much. John isn't really sure what he said that caused Rodney to react like that, but knowing Rodney, he's about to find out. You love me? Rodney's voice is a few octaves higher than normal, and John can't help but grin. Of course I do. What do you think? He's frowning now. Had Rodney really never known that? Well, I guess I wasn't sure. I mean, you know, we never really talked about... This time, John stops Rodney from finishing his speech. He's smiling into the kiss. Jesus, they really are a pair of idiots. Why hadn't they ever talked about it? Before Rodney had been injured, they'd spent 6 months together almost constantly. John supposes this is the problem with having two men in a relationship. It's entirely possible they'll never actually have a proper conversation about their feelings. John stops kissing Rodney and takes a deep breath, bracing himself for the conversation he knows they do have to have. Rodney, I love you. I want to be with you. You can't leave me behind again. I won't let you. John, I have to go. No, Rodney, I'm not saying you can't go. I'm saying you can't leave me. John hopes Rodney understands. He doesn't think he'd be able to beg Rodney to take him to Boston with him. He's already worried he's turning into a woman, and that would just push him over the edge. Rodney just grins again, and John thinks he could become addicted to seeing that look on his lover's face. You want to come with me? To Boston? Really? The excited tone in Rodney's voice is enough to make that feeling in John's stomach go into overdrive. He leans in and cups his hand to Rodney's cheek, kissing him and putting every ounce of feeling he has into it. What was intended as a simple way to say yes soon spirals out of control. No matter how long they spend together, no matter how many times they do this, John will never be able to keep control where Rodney's concerned. He's pretty sure he's addicted to Rodney's crooked mouth, his beautiful blue eyes, his hands, everything. Rodney turns them so that he's lying on top of John, his good leg holding his weight. He kisses John deeply, murmuring and moaning, his leg pressing against John's erection, making him desperate for more. John is halfway through unfastening Rodney's pants before it occurs to him that they're outside, in the open. He pulls his hand back and pushes Rodney away. Jesus, Rodney, we're outside. We can't do this here. John would probably sound more convincing if he weren't still pushing his hips up in an effort to get more of that delicious friction. It's fine, no one ever comes out here. Rodney's voices are muffled by John's throat. John tips his head back to give Rodney more room, which isn't really helping with the stop having sex outside situation. Rodney, seriously, we need to... Fuck! Rodney has one hand on John's cock and is cupping him through his pants, and he's still mauling John's neck. John really needs to stop this, but it's been 6 months. Any pretense at resistance goes out the window when Rodney carefully moves down John's body. A voice in the back of John's head is pointing out how difficult it must be for Rodney to be crawling backwards like that, but the voice shuts up when Rodney pulls John's pants open and draws his cock out. All thought is suspended when John's cock is engulfed by a warm, wonderful heat that he hasn't felt in so long. He'll deny the sounds he's making until the day he dies, but in his head he can admit he's whimpering. Rodney was always really good at this. He sucks lightly on the head before moving down, his teeth carefully teasing, his tongue lapping at John as though his cock is the most delicious-tasting thing ever. Rodney starts humming, and John knows he won't last long. Not like this, his uniform in disarray, his hands clutching at blades of grass beside him. Without warning, John feels a wet hand teasing at his hole, and it's all he can do not to cry out with need. God, it's been so long since he's felt Rodney inside him. His own fingers are no substitute for the heat and fullness of Rodney's cock. He knows he'll have to wait for that, though. There's no way he's doing that outside. Rodney pushes his finger slowly into John, but then he stops moving. Just as John is about to complain, Rodney goes all the way down on his cock, deep-throating him and still humming. John couldn't stop the cries now if his life depended on it. Rodney removes his finger and returns with two, still moving maddeningly slowly inside John, still swallowing him down. It's all too much, and John shoves his fist in his mouth to stifle the scream. Rodney licks him clean, just like always, and then collapses onto his back. His post-coital haze gone, John jumps up and moves to where Rodney is laying. "Rodney, baby, are you okay? Was that too much? Does your leg hurt?" He's aware he sounds like a terrified little kid, but he kind of feels like one right now. Much to his surprise, Rodney opens his eyes and starts laughing. A lot. He keeps trying to speak, but just ends up laughing again. John is getting a little annoyed now. Just what the hell is Rodney finding so funny? "Did you?" He interrupts himself with another laughing fit. "Did you just call me baby?" Rodney is giggling so hard now he's clutching at his sides and looks as though he's in pain. John wants so much to be mad at him, but the giggling becomes infectious and he's powerless to resist. They lie side by side, trying to catch their breath, Rodney erupting into a mini giggle fits every now and then. John would point out that it isn't really as funny as all that, but he loves the sound of Rodney so happy. He's by no means naive enough to believe it will be easy. They'll have to hide their relationship from everyone they know, everyone they care about. John has no idea what he'll even do for work. He has no interest in staying in the AAF, but there's not a lot else he knows how to do. He knows they'll figure it out, though, somehow. Knows they'll be okay as long as they have each other. Eventually, he turns to face his friend, his lover, and rests his head on his shoulder. He drapes his arm across Rodney's chest and sighs the sigh of the truly contented. He should have known Rodney wouldn't let that one go without comment. Seriously, you are such a girl sometimes. The end.